talking about Pete Townsend, AOL Music's number 5 songwriter in the history of rock, and my personal favorite. So, John, we're talking about Tommy now, and the first rock opera, the thing that really put the Who on the map in a way that nothing else they had done before did. Mm-hmm. And the question we were left with was, what's the difference between a concept album and a rock opera? So let me see if I can tackle this. I would say that Dark Side of the Moon, there are a number of Pink Floyd albums that you could argue are concept albums.
Right.
But they're not rock operas. Mm-hmm. And the reason, what separates for me a rock opera, and we have to use the term opera very loosely here, but is the fact that there is a theme that goes through it. So both Tommy and then Quadrophenia, the other rock opera we'll get to later, take 2 or 3 or 4 musical themes, and in the overture at the beginning of Tommy, you hear pieces of songs that come later in the album.
Well, that's exactly what defines an opera. The overture to an opera always, and I'm talking about in the classical sense, the overture always combines the primary themes of everything to follow.
Yes.
Now, that's just strictly from a musical standpoint.
But no one had thought to do it or figured out how to do it before Pete Townsend did it with Tommy.
That's true, but I still want to differentiate that from a concept album, which I regard as something that is more thematic in nature and deals with an issue or a concept, and there are various ways of approaching it musically, but the way I define an opera is it tells a story, and everything in it advances the story, and you actually hear the characters speak in the songs.
Got it. Yeah, and Tommy certainly does that. Well, let's spend a minute on this, because one of the things I want to leave people with is what Tommy is about and why I consider it a masterpiece. So everyone may know that Tommy is the story of a deaf, dumb, and blind boy. And the story is less important, but he becomes deaf, dumb, and blind when he witnesses the murder of his father coming home from the war. They thought he was dead. The wife and her lover, the lover kills the father. Tommy witnesses it. They say to him, "You never saw anything, you never heard anything," and he shuts up for life, or close to life.
Which is a tragic story and actually is, accurate in terms of the way kids may react to a traumatic
event.
Yes,
and then Tommy has a tough childhood. He's abused by an uncle and a cousin, Uncle Ernie and Cousin Kevin. There are songs about this. Mm-hmm. They try everything they can to bring him back to normal. They try the gypsy, the acid queen, as we mm-hmm. know. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says everything seems normal in his reactions. He just, essentially he chooses not to see, and he chooses not to speak. But he spends time in front of the mirror. And so the song Smash the Mirror, his mother smashes the mirror, and it's a breakthrough for Tommy. Now he can see and feel and hear. And before that, it turns out, he ended up being an expert at pinball.
Right.
And for whatever reason...
It's a pretty strange idea.
And this is where pinball was... Of course, pinball was a big part of the culture of the 50s, 60s, right? It was before video games. So it fit right in with pop culture and what kids were doing.
Oh, man, talk about a pinball wizard.
Were you?
I was consumed with pinball. Yes, I had a couple of friends, and that was our primary pastime, was to play pinball. All the machines were a dime then, and you could shake the daylights out of them and apply a little English to the table and the bally pinball tables. They were the ones.
Always gets the replay. He never tilts at all.
Yeah.
That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. Mm-hmm. Well, so that's the most famous song from Tommy. But what I think most people confuse is the ending of Tommy. And this is where I think Pete Townsend is so brilliant. So Tommy gets his eyesight back, and he's already a pinball star. So people flock to him and say, what is the answer? What the answer to life, whatever it is. And he says, it's pinball, because that's what he's best at. And so he lines people up, and they play pinball at Tommy's holiday camp, and they put earplugs on and eye shades and put a cork in their mouth to mimic his deaf, dumb, and blindness as though that will lead to enlightenment. And then the second last song of Tommy is Tommy's Holiday Camp, where the fans turn on him and say, "We're not going to take it." And of course, there's a statement in there about religion and about many people infer that this was a statement against religion, and I never took it that way. Although there's that layer of meaning there.
Well, I wondered if you were going to bring that up. I always regarded it as an allegory for something like a Messiah situation.
Yes. Agreed.
So he's the messianic character in this opera.
Yes, but what's interesting is so much of this is autobiographical, that not the deaf, dumb, and blind thing, but Townsend was a gawky kid. He had a big nose. He wasn't attractive. He wasn't good at
bad haircut.
He wasn't good at football. He wasn't stylish. He didn't fit in. He felt like an outcast all through high school, and suddenly he becomes a star on stage. And so Tommy is a metaphor for this Townsend's transition, okay? And I listened to Tommy. Tommy came out while I was in college, and we listened to it a lot, and I thought I understood it. And then I went to see The Who in concert for the very first time, and they ended with See Me, Feel Me, the ending song of Tommy.
Isn't that a beautiful song?
It is an amazing experience in concert because, first of all, it builds to a wonderful crescendo, but it hit me between the eyes what Tommy was about, and I did not understand Tommy till I saw it performed, because after 2 hours of the most incredible live music I had ever seen, they start this song, and Roger Daltrey sings, "See me, feel me, touch me, heal me," and builds that to a crescendo, and then Pete Townsend walks up to the microphone and sings, "Listening to you, I get the music. Gazing at you, I get the heat. Following you, I climb the mountain. I get excitement at your feet." And I realized at that moment that this song was written to be sung live. And I had missed that all the times I'd heard it on my turntable.
It's the song to the audience.
Yes. And the second verse goes, "Right behind you, I see the millions. On you, I see the glory. From you, I get opinions. From you, I get the story." And the audience just loves that. I can still remember another show I saw a few years later in St. Louis, and the music critic for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, his name was Eric Mink. I happened to have met him. And
I think I've read some of his stuff.
He wrote a review of this show, so you always read a review if you've been to the concert. And he, three-quarters of the way through the review, he writes, "And then, for some inexplicable reason, the crowd streamed towards the stage." Well, I had seen this happen at more than one Who concert. When they started See Me, Feel Me, people just moved to the stage, and at a level I've not seen any other band do. Because, of course, today they make you stay in your seat.
Yeah,
but
right.
Back then, they couldn't really control the crowds.
Well, Andy, just repeat those lyrics one more time, okay?
Sure.
Indulge me.
"Listening to you, I get the music. Gazing at you, I get the heat. Following you, I climb the mountain. I get excitement at your feet."
And in the next verse?
"Right behind you, I see the millions. On you, I see the glory. From you, I get opinions. From you, I get the story."
And that is one of the reasons why Pete Townsend is listed number 5 as the top rock songwriters.
Yes, because
it's not just a matter of music. That is insightful, emotional, intelligent, beautiful. You know, that's poetry.
Well, you know, years later I heard Mick Jagger say it's the audience that generates the energy in an arena. He said, the band, if we were
anywhere, not just arenas, but...
Right, but I meant, they're playing large, these big bands are playing large places. And he was saying that it's the audience that generates the energy. He said, if we were playing here by ourselves, you know, we feed off the energy. Well, Pete Townsend knew that and was able to express it in song and climax the rock opera Tommy with that notion, and the audience has responded to that. You can still go and see Tommy live on, you know, the Broadway production, and or you can see somebody do it off Broadway, and people still stand and cheer during that last song.
Yeah, well,
because it has an impact. He basically turns around to the audience and says, "You are the driving force." In the case of a concert, you're the driving force here, and it's speaking to the people and basically saying, it's the people that have the power. And
right.
So it is extremely insightful. And you know, I've heard Ken Russell's movie of Tommy referred to as cowardly. And I don't disagree with it, although I might have chosen a different word. But he totally missed what Tommy was about. The ending scene of Tommy should have been a band performing live. And instead he had Roger Daltrey climbing a pile of rocks to the heavens as though this was about God.
Right.
And it isn't. It's about live performance. And so that's why I say that the metaphor throughout this of the deaf, dumb, and blind kid who becomes a pinball wizard is the gawky Pete Townsend who becomes a rock star but considers himself an ordinary person.
Yeah, you know, as you know, I played music for a living for a long time, and most of us who did fully understand the concept that, how many times have I played to 10 people in a room, and it reflects in your performance. And then the next night, I play to 200 who are rushing the stage. It's definitely a different performance. But Pete Townsend was able to encapsulate the experience in a way that not only conveyed his own feelings about it, but gave all the props to the crowd, you know, and made them feel like it too. So yep. All I can say is, I wish I'd done it.
Exactly. Well, when we come back, we are going to wrap up our conversation about Tommy and move on to the next Who album, Who's Next?